This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment. The website is mbeinstitute.org. There are various buttons at the bottom of every page which enable one to find out information about the Institute and the website. There is also a very extensive menu in the top left corner of every page, and the header, which is the top section of every page, includes a variety of links to some of the most popular pages on the website. The title to this prayer treatment is Reality Check. Mary Baker Eddy felt this was such an important topic that she actually set aside time every hour of the day to pray exclusively related to this topic. We have so many diversions, so many suggestions of being distracted from the main purpose of what we are involved in, that we really need to make sure that, first of all, we are not thinking ill of anyone or anything, and that we are doing the opposite of thinking constructive about everyone and everything. This even includes our own schedule, the activity at the moment. We don't want to let any negative thought enter our consciousness, because as Shakespeare says, and this is quoted by Mary Baker Eddy as the second quote as an introduction to the textbook of Christian Science, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and it states, "There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And Mary Baker Eddy gives us a very strict guideline on what our thinking should be by quoting the words of Jesus as the very first quote at the beginning of the textbook. It states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is truth? She's talking about truth, about what we understand or are seeking to understand better, what God is and what we are. Because, as the Bible clearly states in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Mary Baker Eddy quotes this beginning on page 515, and she gives the complete spiritual interpretation of this whole theme about man being made in the image and likeness of God. If we want to know what that image and likeness is all about, then we need to just look at the definition of God, because that is the only thing, the total sum of all substance of each one of us, everyone in all existence. If we want to explore what are the elements of that substance, then we should direct our attention to a study of the composition of God. and be eternally grateful to Mary Baker Eddy, who is the one that fought her way through the jungle to find the light which was revealed to her in mighty splendor and is recorded throughout the 700 pages of the textbook, as well as the 16 other books that support the textbook, giving us many, many clues as to how to understand the textbook. Before she published the first edition of 432 total editions, she proved what is comprised as the text of the book. She healed, just as Jesus did, every problem that was presented. But the beauty of Mary Baker Eddy's work is that she discovered the science of the healings of Jesus and therefore was able to reduce it to a system which then enables anyone that studies this science and pursues it with an intent interest to prevent most of the problems that the average individual suffers with and heals the ones that sneak in. Another very important thing to remember is that the Bible, along with the spiritual inspiration received directly from God and proven by what was demonstrated to be true. Therefore, Christian Science is the opposite of being a theory. It is all proven fact. The last 101 pages of the textbook include 486 verified healings from 85 different Christian Scientists. Let's examine how God is defined. On page 465, she defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she defines God as the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. On that same page, 587, she defines good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. She defines man on page 591 as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Mind is defined on that same page as the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love. The one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God, of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. Spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, and reflective. This is how matter, the opposite of spirit, is defined. Mythology, mortality, another name for mortal mind. Illusion, intelligence, substance, and life in non-intelligence. And mortality, life resulting in death, and death in life. Sensation in the sensationless. Mind originating in matter. The opposite of truth. The opposite of spirit. The opposite of God. That of which immortal mind takes no cognizance. That which mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. That's also from page 591. Here's the definition of mortal mind on that same page. Nothing claiming to be something. For mind is immortal. Mythology. Error creating other errors. A suppositional material sense. Alias the belief that sensation is in matter, which is sensationless. A belief that life, substance, and intelligence are in and of matter. The opposite of spirit, and therefore the opposite of God or good. The belief that life has a beginning and therefore an end. The belief that man is the offspring of mortals. The belief that there can be more than one creator. Idolatry, the subjective states of error. Material senses, that which neither exists in science nor can be recognized by the spiritual sense. Sin, sickness, death. Wonderful thing about all of the negativity in those two definitions of matter and mortal mind is that they are the opposite of truth. They're the opposite of God. The definition of good was recited, and that is defined as God, spirit. God cannot be both evil and good. Spirit cannot be a substance of matter and perfection. It's defined as flawless. So spirit is flawless, whereas matter is total flaw. Nothing but mistakes. Nothing but error. What should we do when we become aware that we're dealing with matter or mortal mind? What do we do in mathematics if we see that we have added 2 plus 3 and it is recorded with a product of anything other than 5. It could be 4.99999, or it could be 5.00001. But if it's not exactly 5, there's only one thing to do with it. Trash it. Replace it with the truth. And that's exactly what we must do with matter and mortal mind. We replace matter with spirit, and we replace mortal mind with the one and only real mind, which is divine mind. Here's a definition that is very enlightening. Almost everyone walking on planet Earth believes that the healings of Jesus were miracles. How is a miracle defined? Miracle. That which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly, a phenomenon of science. That's also page 591. In other words, Jesus was the way shower, and he was showing us the way to God. The Bible was his only reference. He quoted it frequently. It was his source for responding to the devil who was trying to tempt him after he had been in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Every time the devil made a statement to tempt Jesus to come on the side of evil, Jesus rebutted it with the opposite, which was stated in the Bible, and therefore refuted and neutered whatever the devil proposed as the devil's truth. The emphatic difference between what is proposed as the devil's truth and what is the reality truth that Jesus relied upon is that reality is real, and the theory by the devil was the opposite and therefore unreal. Not an element of truth in it. If something seems to be true and it has one little element of a lie in it, then it is all a lie. It's like having a glass of totally clean, clear water and putting one speck of dirt into the container with the water. It is no longer pure. It is no longer clean. It is no longer a symbol for the purity of God. There are no alloys in perfection. Black is not black if it has a little speck of a different color in it. White is not white if it has a little speck of a different color in it. Spirit is not pure if it has a little bit of matter in it. Divine mind is not pure if it has a little bit of mortal mind mixed in with it. Mary Baker Eddy says mortal mind is an oxymoron because mind is immortal. Therefore, there can be no such mind that is mortal. It is only a false concept of divine mind. Matter is a false concept of spirit. Impurity is a false concept of purity. As Shakespeare reminds us, there is nothing either good or bad, except thinking makes it so. Jesus, when he saw someone that appeared to have a problem with his health or something else that was involved with the individual, he didn't look upon them as having a problem. He looked upon the problem being a false view of who the individual really was. He claimed that the individual was an image and likeness of perfect God, and he was able to heal by having a clear enough vision of that perfection of the individual, that the consciousness of not him, but everyone that was observing him, was changed. It was replaced with the pure consciousness of who the individual really was. And that is the image and likeness of perfect God. That's who the individual really was. Jesus kept his thought on the truth, not a lie, on perfection, not imperfection, on a man that could see, not a man that was blind, on a Tabitha that was alive and only sleeping, not dead. The same with Lazarus, the same with the lepers, the same with all of the people that he was talking to on the hillside, wherein they counted there were 4,000 men plus women and children, and they were hungry. He didn't see them as being hungry. He saw them as having infinite supply. And when they were done feeding them, where they began only with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, they had to gather up all of the baskets full of food that was left over, because there was a surplus. The same with the 5,000. Considering that every family probably had 2 or 3 or 4 children and a wife, he was probably dealing with some 40 or 50,000 or more people. And remember, he said that he loved little children because they were so innocent and they were so receptive to the truth, and they trusted. They had an unwavering trust in what he was telling them. So they were probably his best observers and students at those hillside meetings. Never discount a child if you see them in their correct light. See them as innocent. See them as untouched by the filth of generation upon generation, century upon century of compounded lies about what otherwise would be recognized as the real man, as the image and likeness of the one and only real God. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a third quote at the beginning of the textbook, and it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed." That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. I believe that's the prayer that Mary Baker Eddy refers to. What is a prayer when it is without ceasing? Do you think it could mean that the individual is living the prayer of truth? They're living the prayer that is recognizing only constructive, positive things that are reflecting the perfection of God about everyone and everything, instead of permitting evil and mistakes and prejudice and everything else that is a temptation to humanity, and it being permitted to be able to penetrate the thoughts. That's what we must reject. We must only accept the truth about everyone, like Jesus did. The founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright, devoted her adult life to pursuing the understanding of God and God's reflection man in all events and activities, to be the real ideas of God, not flawed and being of the lineage of a so-called Adam or Eve, no. The truth about us individually is that we were not born as a sinner. We have always been the truth, which is without beginning or end, and the image and likeness of perfect God. And as we see ourselves and others more clearly, we will be able to recognize more and more of the revelation that represents the truth instead of a lie. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a very important statement about who we are. It's called the Scientific Statement of Being, and it's on page 468 of the chapter entitled Recapitulation. And that's a summary of chapters 1 through 13. It is chapter number 14 that is the recapitulation of the prior 13 chapters. It goes like this. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Mary Baker Eddy provided to her class in her metaphysical college the final class in 1898, seven prayer treatments entitled Diapason of Heaven, one for each of the seven synonymous terms for God. Now, I didn't give you the rest of the information about Helen Wright, but she was a prolific writer, and she wrote, among other things, a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. That book contains chapter 4 on mind, chapter 5 on spirit, and up through chapter 10, which is on love, and those seven chapters are on the seven synonymous terms. So when you study what God is, and those seven terms, of course, will be involved in any study of what God is, for those are the seven terms that define God. You will find there are many terms that support the primary term. In fact, the entire dictionary can be condensed or distilled down to the seven terms for God and the four operators, which are termed the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and the four levels. And they are explained on page 115 and 116 of the textbook. So there are 15 root notions that define the system of divine metaphysics. And that's what she says on page 146, that she reduced to a system. And on page 330, she states that if we understand the 32 planks and we exercise our understanding about the 32 planks and live the spirit, then we will be able to demonstrate divine metaphysics. And that's the science of the healings of Jesus. It's the combination of the letter and the spirit that brings the product of healing automatically. If you think of love as part of the spirit, you will absolutely divorce yourself from an attitude of fear, which encourages one to take because they think there's not enough of whatever it is to go around, and so they have to take and accumulate away from someone else or something else. And that must be converted into confidence that love supplies every need. And the more we give, the more we have. So we convert a life of taking to a life of giving. And that is a requirement of living the Spirit. If we don't do that, we will get nowhere in our efforts to learn about God. Jesus gave his life. Everything. Mary Baker Eddy gave her life. Everything. The people that are really successful in Christian Science are those who cultivate and practice continuously a life of giving. Fear is not a part of giving. Fear is the ingredient for taking. That is the feeder roots for taking. You have no confidence in God. You have no confidence in life, truth, love, mind, spirit, soul, or principle. Those are the components of God. And you have no confidence in any of them. And therefore, you want to accumulate every possible thing you can accumulate. You want to take, take, take. And that's the opposite of confidence and giving. Giving, giving. We have so much we can give. And don't think money is the only thing there is in the world. And if you don't have enough of it, how can you give any of it away? Because you are then not thinking about spirit, but you're thinking about matter. You're not thinking about what Shakespeare says about there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And you don't care about what Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you don't care about what Mary Baker Eddy said, oh, thou hast heard my prayer. The prayer that we must live is the prayer of seeing everyone and everything perfect. That's our prayer. Mary Baker Eddy says the difference between success and failure in anything is often how the moments are utilized. A moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. You can't divide it because it's already the smallest. It's not even finite. Because you can multiply it as often as you want. You can add it. You can multiply. You can't divide it. And you can't subtract it. Because it is an idea. The seven is not limited. It's not finite. It's an idea. Anyone can use it. Everyone can use it. All at the same time. As many times as you want to use it. Within as fast as you want to use it. And that's all we have to think about our life. Our life is not dependent upon a finite concept. It is dependent upon expanding our concept. There is nothing limited about life because God is life. The only thing limited is our viewpoint. We need to replace an imperfect concept of anything or anyone with a perfect concept. Error cannot tolerate truth. Truth cannot tolerate error. They cannot be mixed. It's one or the other. Love and hate cannot be mixed. It's one or the other. And you can go right down the entire vocabulary of the hundreds of thousands of words in the English language, and I'm sure any other language works the same way, and you can't mix opposites. God has no competition and no opposition. A high school coach of a girls' running team was hired because they needed to have some fresh thinking. They had lost every game in the prior season. In fact, I'm not sure, it could have been several seasons that they lost every game. It's been many years since I've had the pleasure of viewing that wonderful movie. And I didn't really get too impressed with how many times that they had lost, but the fact that they were starting at zero. She ignored any past record. She started with the truth. What did she need to do? She had to build up their endurance. She didn't start with looking at a win-loss record. She started with what everyone should start with, and that is, wherever you are, don't look back, only look forward and up. It doesn't matter where you are. You only look forward and up. She taught them to totally disregard anyone else on the track. They were running the 400 meter dash. Don't give any thought to anyone else on the track. Don't look to your side. Don't look back. You might want to look ahead just to make sure you don't run over someone. And you want to stay in your lane, because when you're running, you're supposed to be in a particular lane that is chalked off. She said, you run your race. You don't have any competition. You don't have any opposition. The only thing you have is a perfect standard, and you strive for that. There's a movie called Stand and Deliver. It was a successful aerospace engineer, and he was a Mexican. He was living in East LA, which was the lower class section, surrounded with Mexicans. He was a Mexican. And he had the inspiration and the realization that mathematics doesn't have a race. like the color of one's skin, whether you're black or white or yellow, green. No, it's not dependent upon race or creed or religion. And whatever bias you think you were born with, you can forget. Because math, in his view, was the great equalizer. He taught these folks, these students, that were in one of the worst, maybe the worst, school in the district of a troubled area. He taught them calculus. And everyone in the class qualified for advanced mathematics placement in college. And they didn't even know how to add and subtract when he started with them. But he didn't pay attention to that. He started from the basics, teaching them the basics. We have to do the same thing. We have to learn what God is. We have to learn what man is. We don't worry about what we'd learned, what we picked up from lie after lie of compounded mortality. I don't care how many thousand years that lies have been told. We know it's been 2,000 because it was certainly prevalent when Jesus was first appeared. That's 2,000 years. And we know there was no healing for the last 1,500 years from when he, well, actually it was the Council of Nicaea, which was 325 AD, so it was, you know, 275 years or 285. He was 33, so that many years from now, so what's that, 540 years, or not from now, but until Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science, which was in 1866. So, 541 years. There was no healing. I'm sorry, it was 1,541 years. There was no healing. And she says she rediscovered the lost element of healing. That's what we need to do. We need to reveal to our consciousness the truth about God and the truth about ourselves and realize that everyone has the same father and mother, which is God, because we're all ideas. Forget about coming out of a woman's womb. That's only going to limit you to the belief that you're made up of matter. Do you think that the successful people in life are concerned about what their body is made up of? They're so busy pursuing what their interest is that they don't give any thought to it. In fact, if you took people as a class, you would probably find that they're the healthiest people because they don't worry about sickness or sin or death. They're too busy worrying about life. Pursuing life is what we have to do if we want to overcome death. I know from successful people, in fact, every successful person I know has never retired. Never. They're always doing productive things. Doesn't matter their age. There's a number of well-known actors. Look at Clint, well, shouldn't be naming names, but look at Clint Eastwood. He's not the only one that's supposedly in his 90s and being productive. As a matter of fact, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute was 100, according to the calendar, when she wrote her finest book, the one I referred to you, Your Divinity Revealed. And boy, the thinking that is in that, expressed in that book, where she defines the seven terms for God and shows how all the individual words that support the term for each of the seven, how they all work together. Very clear thinking. Very clear thinking. Mr. Ed, the star of the show in that, Christian Scientist. He was a friend of the Institute. I talked with him shortly before his last days. He was very spiritually motivated. He was the same as, you know, they were all the same category, him and Clint Eastwood and Helen Wright. There's other ones that are active in life. They're not active thinking about death or thinking about how old they are or how limited they are. Mary Baker Eddy says that we should think of age as the opportunity for wisdom. If we happen to notice that, oops, one more year clicked by, we shouldn't wait until one more year clicks by. We should think about it every day. What good did I do today? Because she says that our power is a result of the good we do and embody. I shall read to you one of the Diapason of Heaven treatments that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her class. Oh, one more thing. In her final class, everybody that was in that class was individually invited by her. So you know that she was well aware of their spiritual level of understanding, or she wouldn't have invited them, because it was well known this was going to be her final class that she was going to teach, because she needed to devote time to other activities. And so she gave them an assignment at the end of the third day. Third day, not at the end of 5 years of direct teaching by her, but the end of the third day of that class, she gave them an assignment to go out and perform a healing and come back and report it. Every single one did. Every single one did. They gained enough understanding, the clarity of what they didn't have before, probably, that after 3 days of that clarity and the spiritual inspiration they gained, they had no problem basically doing instantaneous healing. Here is a prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy entitled The Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is September 3, 2025 at 6:45 p.m. in digital format 250903 at 18:45. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute on the topic of Reality Check.